This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
I'm glad you decided to listen to this interview because we're going to discuss something everyone on the planet needs: clothes. What many don't know is that the vast majority of clothing is made with highly toxic chemicals, especially clothing made of synthetic fabrics. It's like putting on a piece of plastic drenched in petroleum, formaldehyde, more chemicals, and heavy metals, then sprayed with flame retardants. It's that ridiculous. Co-authors Dr. Brian Clement and Dr. Anna Maria Clement are co-directors of the internationally known Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida. These two physicians created wellness and disease prevention programs, followed by more than 300,000 people who have spent a week or more at the Institute. They've authored a dozen books on natural health antidotes to illness and disease. We're going to discuss their book, Killer Clothes. Welcome, Brian and Anna Maria. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Well, before you tell us what led you both to writing the book Killer Clothes, I wanted to tell you that I've really been searching for someone to come speak on this issue. And there may be a few people out there, but it's pretty quiet on the subject of toxic clothing. And I'd say probably because the fashion industry generates over $7 trillion globally every year. And there are many industrial lobbyists involved, right?
Oh, you're not kidding. It's one of the hotbed political issues that nobody touches. And the money is obscene, and the cruelty, the disease, the problems that stem out of this are endless. I mean, we read extensively in Killer Clothes about this, but let me assure you, I could write volumes on the issue.
Wow. Well, how about we begin with learning a little bit about both of your background?
Well, we'll start with Dr. Anna Maria.
Well, I am from Sweden. And I ran a clinic outside Stockholm called Brando, and it was amazing. I was vegan at 15 and got into this lifestyle, and you know, it just made so much sense to wear natural fibers. I remember wearing polyester fiber as a kid and hating it, and especially in the summer when you get hot and you're sweating and you can't breathe through those materials. And how much wonderful, more it was so much better to wear natural fibers. And I've been studying, you know, organic cotton in a long time, especially since we've had kids. We have four kids, and you know, from diapers, natural fiber diapers, and their clothes, organic cotton. It's just gone on in our work, because, you know, I've worked within this field for 40 years and at the Institute since 1983. I came over from Sweden, and, you know, just to find what people go through with the toxicity in clothes. We have a research in the book and how they detox it, those chemicals. We have a test where kids are sleeping in formaldehyde pajamas. Please don't ever put your kids in formaldehyde pajamas, fire retardant. And anyway, in the morning, they test their urine, and the fire retardants are in the urine the next morning.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So Anna Maria and I became acutely interested in this because, like Anna Maria, I've been doing this for 41 years, and we've directed Hippocrates Institute since 1980. And when you look at what we see with sick people, a very high percentage of the people who are ill, and particularly women with breast cancer, men with testicle cancer, is coming directly from the use of man-made fibers. And when we started to look at this and discuss it decades ago, there was no empirical evidence that we could find. And then slowly but surely, we started to accrue that research. And it's far and few between, but we were stunned that every time there was some of this done, that it mimicked the exact results that the last study did. As one small example, when women wear man-made fiber bras, which are polyesters, nylons, all made out of oil, by the way.
Yeah,
same
exactly.
In your car. They have a 6-time greater chance of breast cancer. And let me repeat this for the listeners. I'm not saying 6%. I'm saying 6 times. So if you're fancying wearing man-made fiber bras, one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times greater chance you're going to have breast cancer. Remove the bras. Mm. Wear natural fiber bras. Testicle cancer. Back in the 70s, for the first time, we got men to start wearing panty-like undergarments. And when that became fashionable, and still is in fashion for many men, our testicles started to heat up, and they're pushed back up into our bodies. The load of testicle cancer dramatically rises when you're wearing this type of a garment. Rather than through history, both the breasts were moving freely and the lymphatic glands moving, as well as the penis, the genitalia for men, and you didn't have this kind of constraint where it was preventing natural blood flow, which caused cancer.
Well, and yet we're told a lot of myths, I know women are, for the reasons why you should wear a bra.
Yeah, and the underwire, if you have an underwire, forget it. It restricts the tissue, and it's really a danger, big danger.
Yeah, so the big bosom woman actually has an 8 to 9 times greater chance with polyester underwires or nylon underwires. This is obscene, you know, it's obscene. And to go back to address what you did, and I won't name names, but one of the most famous designers in the world, who in other areas of her life, she lives impeccably well, I went to see her. And I said, we have finished this book, and we're willing to have you be a co-author, but that would mean you'd have to radically change your view on garments and how you make garments. And she declined. And, you know, it just showed me, I thought, we have a slight chance, the door is cracked open here, that we'll have a big name and really radically be able to change the industry with that kind of a person. Mm. But sadly, money became more important than human health and life, I guess.
Oh, yeah, and it's amazing because the people in the fashion industry, they have their galas and fundraising, you know, and they talk about beauty and they talk about global warming, but yet they're one of the biggest top polluters on the planet.
No question.
You got it.
No question. Yeah. And I mean, this goes on and on. It's not only, let's broaden this. It's not only the garment that you're wearing
that's
if you're
right.
foolish, but can you imagine the slave labor conditions? And that's not an overstatement that exist in these countries so that people in Europe and North America can wear inexpensive clothing. I mean, it is outrageous. When we talk about this in killer clothes, we show you the illnesses that come from these people working in factories under those conditions, and how certain communities that we looked at and reviewed have 8 and 9 times major diseases that communities that do not, in those natural settings, do not work in the garment industry.
Well, for people that don't know, maybe we should clarify what synthetic clothing is.
Okay, well, it's a pretty new phenomena. You know, up until the early part of the 20th century, everything was cotton or linen or wool or silk. And then the petrochemical industry had just come out of the Second World War and had made a crazy amount of money in the Second World War, and were not willing to surrender that outrageous amount of profits. So they started to create other industries, the petrochemical industry. And one was pesticides, fungicides, and herbicides. A sidebar, 25% of pesticides in the world are used in growing cotton. And they created that. But it wasn't enough for them. They said, okay, let's create man-made fibers. And so that's part of the petrochemical industry. As Anna Maria said, especially in our youth back in the 70s, if you'd ever gone into a discotheque where everyone wore these polyester dresses, I mean, it smelled like, you know, like you were in a urinal.
It's awful.
Their skin can't breathe at all. They're sweating in there.
No. Years and years ago, some of the first things I read on this is 30 years ago, was actually talking about how when they tested these polyesters, nylons, et cetera, they actually found that they outgas and fume even 10 years later. A decade later,
jeez,
after washed 1,000 times. So it's not they get better. They're plastic. They're plastic clothing. So they don't prevent the body to, they don't allow the body to breathe. They prevent it. They also put these deadly chemicals into your body that mimic estrogens, and the one thing no human needs on the planet now is more estrogens.
Yeah.
That's where the vast majority of cancers are coming from.
Yeah, we already have enough gender-bending chemicals in all our grooming products. We don't need it in our clothes, too.
You got it. And so this is really, a very, very large contribution to human psychological and physiological problems today. And there is no doubt, if you read the book Killer Clothes, that you have to immediately, if you're any kind of responsible person who's not on a suicide mission, to start with your undergarments. Get organic undergarments. And then slowly but surely, even if you don't have money, weed out all of the man-made fibers. And when you're buying natural fibers, watch out. As I was finishing this book, a friend of mine called and said, look, would you like to send me to a big conference that's being held at Berkeley in the University of California, out in that area, Berkeley, California, near San Francisco. And they said there's a major conference from scientists and doctors around the world against fire retardants and formaldehyde. And as much as I knew, I didn't realize the gross misuse of formaldehyde. And after he came back, he called me with a report and sent me 20 pages and said, listen, he said, go into your closet, Mr. Natural, and see how many of your shirts say you do not need ironing.
Yeah.
And five of my shirts, three of my favorite happened to have that. He said, burn them in the backyard and put a mask on. He said, that's formaldehyde. Now, some of you may know this who are listening. Formaldehyde is how we preserve animals and human parts.
Yeah.
They don't die. Can you imagine what that does to kill brain cells, neurons in the brain, the neurological system? I mean, it's just outrageous. And nobody watches this. Nobody monitors it. Nobody seems to care about it. And I know people eating organic diets, exercising, wonderful attitudes, and they're ending up with diseases because of what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, here's the thing. You buy these clothes, whether it's synthetic and natural fiber, and they spray them, like you're saying, with these wrinkle-free finishes, waterproof, moth, flame retardant. I mean, come on, people. This is just ridiculous. It amazes me how we went from lovely natural fabrics like silk and linen to spandex.
Yeah.
And then did you read in the book where we talk about future clothing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to get into that with you later. But I wanted to also clarify, too, for people, what are some of the synthetic fabrics? We have nylon, polyester, acrylic.
Rami, they actually treat. Most of the rayons are heavily treated. As we pointed out, even 100% natural cotton in most cases are treated. But one of the ways that you can do that, when I buy suits, for women, if you look, there's a lot of really good designers now that are making clothing and organic offerings. Where men, and I have to wear suits in my work on a daily basis, we don't have that option. So we talk about how you can take a suit, get the least expensive vinegar, get 4-liter or gallon bottles of this, put it in your your bathtub, put very, very hot water and soak that garment in there, in the vinegar, where you put 1 or 2 gallons or about 4 liters in there. And you let it soak overnight. You let it drip dry. Now, if you're in many places in the world listening to me today, you have organic dry cleaners. Matter of fact, here at the Hippocrates Institute, we offer that to our guests, and locally, that's the only way we clean our clothes. So they have non-toxic, made out of soy, dry cleaning. Then you take that and you dry clean it, and you're going to get most, if not all, of the chemicals off these type of clothing. Now, you're not going to do that with a polyester or a nylon or a viscue or something that's made out of oil. It's never going to change it. As a matter of fact, it may actually be worse, that if you did that, it would open up and more fumes would come out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been working on a clothing line, by the way. It's coming out this winter, and it's all natural fibers and also organic when possible. And let me tell you, I'm dealing with some big manufacturers, and the general attitude when you call and ask about their dye process, the chemicals, when you really start to inquire, you start to get a different person that comes out, and kind of they're a little aggressive about it. They're a little defensive about it. And they almost look down on you when you say, I want something that's truly organic and natural.
Absolutely. In society, the normal people are considered abnormal, and the abnormal people are considered normal.
That's right.
And it's all about money at the end of the day.
Yeah, and we've been working, you know, because so many women come here with breast cancer, it's been really close to our heart. And I've been working for the last decade on organic cotton bras, and they will be coming here. They will actually, we'll have them in our store by next year.
Great, that's great.
And, you know, and just the extra, you know, the Marine Corps cannot wear any of the fire retardant clothes. The flame retardant clothes, they're actually forbidden.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I read actually a chapter in your book where you talk about some of this.
Just melt on their body.
Yeah.
Here in the United States, the toughest of our armed services or army are called the Marines. Now, Americans know this, but other listeners may not. When they were in Iraq and wearing man-made fibers, polyesters, when it got really hot, at 110, 120 degrees in the summertime, they would actually implode. It would go into flames.
Jeez.
So they outlawed. Now they made a new rule for the Marine Corps. They have to wear natural fiber clothing in those environments. It's that scary, and people don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about some of the chemical processes involved in making synthetic fiber fabrics. You go into this four stages of fabric production in your book.
Well, the first one is that they actually have to use deadly chemicals to bond the petrochemicals. So when you picture this, and I want you to really understand what I'm talking about, to make this simple rather than give you a lot of large words. You have oil. If you've ever seen oil, open up a can of automobile oil, look at it. They actually have chemicals that bond that to make it go into strands. And part of those chemicals are known carcinogens. In 100% of the cases. Next to that, depending upon what they're making, which type of man-made fiber they're making, they've got to make that have elasticity. That adds a whole other dimension of deadly chemicals into it, all of which, 100% of which, are cancer-causing and neuron-disrupting. So a lot of these so-called confusion, attention deficit disorders, dyslexias, even depressions are not truly those disorders. What they are is reactive to the chemicals that are creating elasticity and also bonding it into fiber. Then you have a process where they've got to color it, and when they color it, that's one of the most deadly. Now, in the old days, when our grandparents and great-grandparents, and some of, in my case, my parents were young, they colored it with things like beets, and so they were all natural fiber.
Exactly.
Now, deadly dyes. They use known disease-causing dyes that are outlawed, by the way, in every other area but not clothing, the most intimate thing you have. What's more intimate than clothing other than swallowing something?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, the Ecologist magazine found that 8,000 chemicals are employed to transform raw materials into clothes, a process that involves bleaching, dyeing, scorching, sizing, and finishing the fabrics. Imagine.
So what did they do in the old days when they made these beautiful dresses and suits? Did they go through all these chemical processes? I mean, this wasn't even around yet.
Never. Remember, the oil industry is about 100 and some years old.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as that. So they were taking their manual weaving devices, and it was spindles, and they would actually get the cotton or get the linen, and they would actually pull it together, weaving it in a natural way by pumping their feet. And this breeze, everything was organic. Remember, you didn't have an option to poison and kill yourself and the planet. Everything was organic at that point. And if they dyed it, they'd use plants, they'd use leaves. If it was green, they'd actually use chlorophyll from a leaf. If it was red, they would use a beet. If it was orange, they would use something like a carrot. And so can you imagine how incredibly different that was and how much better your body was equipped to endure itself in those breathable, natural elements?
And you're using what the earth has provided for us and living in sync with nature that way.
That's right. And by the way, if that you throw the clothing away, it becomes part of the soil again. You throw away a plastic piece of clothing, mm-hmm. and it may remain for 100,000 years.
Yeah, you know, the clippings from fabric mills are so loaded with dangerous chemicals, they are handled like toxic waste.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know in a lot of foreign countries where these fabric mills are, there's nearby villages that have been complaining and there's been cancer and their water's polluted and it's all fine, yeah. I guess. No, nobody says anything, you know?
You said it, $7 trillion a year.
Well, you were talking about plant-based dyes, and that's a lost art basically in America. You have to go to countries like India or Nepal. I've heard of one on the East Coast that's starting up that's dyeing yarn with plant-based organic type of plants. But I've heard the excuse that, oh, it takes too long and too much space to grow the plants we would need to be able to dye clothes.
No, this is not true. I mean, the problem is bad habits that cost less are hard to break.
Yeah,
and we see that with, you know, we're dealing, directing the world's oldest and most reputable residential health organization. And half the people that come here are not ill. They come here to prevent aging and illness, but the other half are seriously ill. And even with that, they're facing catastrophic problems. It's hard to get them to change patterns. And so when you're talking about that kind of an individual has a difficult time, no wonder when you call a guy and want natural fiber, they say, well, it's all natural, but we still use petrochemical dyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then the detergents that we use to clean our clothes, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah, that washes right into the water supply, and ultimately that comes right back to you.
And gets in our clothes, of course.
It was only 40 years ago where they realized we were destroying our rivers, streams, lakes, and oceans with phosphates. And so they had to put a brake on that, and they tempered it down. They still use phosphates, but they said now that you can have an option of no phosphate, where there's been organic soaps widely available ever since the early parts of humanity, and really widely available by the 1930s and 40s around the world in Europe and North America. And the reality is, this should be a law. When you have something that's destroying the health of humans and destroying the very planet that we live on, if they want to make laws, let's mandate those laws. But sadly, the lobbyists are who get the laws in, and they're laws that protect corporate interests, not human health.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I was just talking to a naturopath recently, and he was telling me about some studies that have recently happened comparing the health effects. They used children for the study, kids who were wearing synthetic fiber versus natural fiber clothing, and children in the synthetics actually had faster heart rates, higher blood pressure. They actually began acting different, like you were saying, so that really connects. Whereas the kids in the natural fibers were, you know, normal heart rate, they were calm, so something to be said there.
Well, this is an interesting story. It just happened in July. We were on an international tour in Europe and went to three cities in Sweden. And we met the psychologist who works with all of the Olympiads, the Olympic athletes that represent Sweden. And he and his wife eat the way we do and wear natural fiber clothes and have read all of our books, etc. And he pulled us aside after the conference and said, it was just last week that after 3 years of begging the trainers to change the clothing on the athletes, that he finally had them do it. Now, as you know, all of these, quote, sports clothes are the most deadly of chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like sports bars. That's an oxymoron. What's sports about a bar sitting down and getting drunk and getting fat? Well, what's sports about wearing polyester clothes that give you deadly chemicals?
Exactly.
They were noticing that a lot of these macho athletes that were the greatest runners, the greatest bodybuilders, etc., their times would go up and down consistently when they looked at over decades. And he proposed to them that what it was is the different clothing, including even shoes that they were wearing. Now, most of the shoes today, you go out and buy a sneaker as an example, it's plastic. And so people said, sure, you're the psychologist, you must be nuts, go over there, sit in the corner. But this one fella, the week before we got there, said, okay, we're going to do it. he brought, he went as far as taking out of his own pocket the money, bought natural fiber sports clothes, put them in natural footwear, and instantaneously, within a matter of 5 minutes, after they took the quote sports clothes off, the guy went back to the times that he had 2 years earlier, and progressively, that during that 1 week period, increased his times and became the best he'd ever been just by wearing natural clothes. So they were that week, when we were there, the end of that week, going to have a national conference with all of the trainers, because that's how incredibly profound the effect was on one of their top athletes, to talk about wearing, going back to natural fiber clothes again. So this is not mythology. We not only write about the science and the empirical evidence, we talk about our own experience, a total of over 80 years, taking these things off people and watching them get healthy, watching them prevent disease, watching them slow down the aging process. But now we talk about the effect this is having universally. When athletes in a country like Sweden that send Olympiads every year to the Olympics, or every time they have an Olympic, basically they're getting it now. And this is a healthy trend, and we're happy that we can contribute to that.
Well, hopefully Victoria's Secret can jump on this bandwagon, because everything they do is nylon. And as we know, a lot of these nylon undies give women infections.
Well, you bet.
Because they create heat. What women need to know, that when you wear those bras and the underwear, they create heat. And all kinds of virus, bacteria, yeast love to flourish in that heat. And so does cancer, you know.
And if you could just tell women and men that their libidos go away, their sex life, that's what they're going to listen. They don't care about the cancer, but you tell them no more sex, then they'll stop.
Yeah, the lingerie is not so sexy anymore.
Matter of fact, we wrote a book on that.
Yes,
too.
We did.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting because the DuPonts, they first invented nylons, right? They were strong supporters of eugenics, which I find very interesting. But some of the first made nylon stockings for women, I saw some old newspaper clippings where women were afraid of nylon pantyhose, calling them cancer hose.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So they picked up on it then, but then somehow it just went in. It just went into mainstream.
Yeah.
It's just like most of what. If they do something that's wrong long enough, it becomes right, seemingly.
Now, what are your thoughts on bamboo? Because bamboo is heavily processed. I know rayon actually comes from bamboo.
Yeah, there are some forms, very, very rare, that they don't do that. But I'd say the overwhelming majority of bamboo clothes are deadly chemicals.
Yeah. You're not going to find organic bamboo, of course.
No, but I met one guy, a manufacturer, who he actually invented a method that was zero chemicals, because bamboo also grows without hardly any water, and you don't need pesticides or anything. But he came up with a truly organic bamboo fabric, and he said he could not get market acceptance. So that, again, makes me wonder if there's lobbyists involved there blocking this. It's just like hemp. Why aren't we growing hemp? It grows like weeds. It doesn't need water and pesticides, but yet...
Well, you're hitting it right. You're not leading to a speculation. You're exposing a truth.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Now, I also had another question. I spoke to someone who said even organic fabric is actually treated with something before it becomes clothing, because sure, it's organic cotton grows in the fields, not treated with any pesticides, but to get it into a fabric format, that it is actually treated with something. Do you know anything about that?
Well, there are some companies, larger companies, for instance, Walmart in this country bought globally, I think, something like 28% of all the organic cotton. And so they're producing and putting in Walmart and other stores under different labels organic clothing. Now, when you get into that large level of manufacturing and the amount that's required to expedite the process, they do use chemicals. Now, most of these chemicals are nowhere near as problematic as the petrochemicals, but there are exceptions to that rule. On the other hand, you've got what you've done is intelligent, that you check with the company. Mm-hmm. They must have a checklist in front of you. Could you tell me each and every process that it goes through? When you say this is organic clothing, you mean that we go and get organic cotton from the field, that we weave it as people would have 100 years ago, and that you use nothing else on it. And if you talk to a manager of the company, they understand liability. They're going to tell you one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys also noticed, too, there's a lot of these trendy, I hate this buzzword, eco-friendly, because it really doesn't mean anything. This, like, this fake green movement that's happening. But there's so many so-called organic clothing companies that are actually using recycled polyester, nylon, and spandex mixed with organic cotton. Have you seen this?
I've seen a lot of it. It disgusts me. You see these in some of the big stores, even health stores around the country.
Yeah.
So I think we have to be congruent. We have to be conscious and congruent and look at every aspect of what causes the problem. And clothing is right up there with everything else that's bad about what humans are doing at this point. And frankly, with the amount of money that comes in, I would probably say it's at the pinnacle level. I mean, if it's destroying more lives, causing more psychological and physiological diseases than most other bad things, we should be addressing this not on your internet radio show. This should be on mainstream and cable networks globally 24 hours a day until people get this into their head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And another important place, I know we're talking about clothing, but is your bed. There are organic beds and organic sheets because you spend a lot of time there and you're sweating. And this is the other thing. Anything that you're putting next to your body, your skin is the largest organ, so it's absorbing everything, but it bypasses the liver, correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. We've had that for so many years. All the beds at the Institute here is all organic cotton. And, I mean, our guests can see the difference, and they want to follow the same idea. So definitely you sleep. Spend 8 hours there, and if it's polyester, you're definitely going to soak up chemicals right from the bed.
And these are widely available, as you know, because you're conscious about this, but most of the listeners would say, well, where do you buy your organic? Well, with the advent of the internet, again, it's the same advice I gave you before, get a hold of the manager or email to the manager. Is this truly pure? Did you use any chemicals? And there, as we checked, we literally got ours directly out of Asia and worked directly with the people that made it. And because we have lots and lots of beds here and a need for lots and lots of linens. And we waylaid having a problem where some of this may have been treated or mislabeled. And that's what you've got to do. But it doesn't take a lot of effort. And once you do it, if you buy enough, you won't need to do or even think about it for years to come.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we choose non-toxic clothing? Are there any tests, things we can do, things we should look out for?
Well, first, you know, at the holidays, at Christmas, they always laugh, although they've all come on board now, my family, they call us the 100%. Because whenever we got a gift, we would look immediately, forget the gift. I don't care how nice it was. We'd open up and look at the label. So is it 100%? What is it 100% of? Now, going back to suits as an example, I get 100% linen or 100% cotton or 100% wool suit. Doesn't mean inside it's not polyester, the lining.
Yeah.
You have to look at that. Number two, they almost treat 100% of men's suits with chemical. Now, it's not as bad a chemical as making plastic clothing, but the reality is the vinegar can take that off. Linen is one of the best. And linen, another thing that Ann and I learned, we used to buy inexpensive clothing because of our budget when we were young. Then we realized to wait for sales at expensive clothing stores, and they would last 4 and 5 times longer.
Exactly.
And the wealthy people know that this, a handful of us know it, but wealthy all know they wear linen. They wear 100% particular type of weave wools. Particular type of weave cottons, Egyptian form of cotton shirts, and this has been noted by the people who can afford these things forever.
Yeah, they've been now, mocking the polyester suit. They look down at you if you wear that.
Exactly. Now the rest of us have to get on board.
Yeah.
And they're probably not aware enough to realize that this is causing deadly poison, but they know it's much more prestigious and much more comfortable and feels a lot better. And so you look for the 100%. And then you take it a step further. Women now, because of the good designers, as an example, the recent article in what we call Organic Spa Magazine, I think they're on the internet, as 10 designers. Of course, many of them were those eco-friendly designers, but they do talk, for instance, about people like Paul McCartney's daughter, who pretty much eats this way, and she's designing really truly organic, not 100% always, but really eco-friendly and organic clothing. And there's a lot of these people you may want to read about. So women can find organic clothing. Anna Marie doesn't have a problem when we're in Europe, especially finding these things.
Mm. Yeah, the other thing to look out for is jeans. Those are some of the most toxic with all the treatments they use to get that jeans look and feel. So you want you want to get raw jeans, too, if you're going to wear jeans.
Absolutely. And they're available. You can find these hemp stores all over the world now and natural cotton stores. And a good time to buy these things are in the summer season, and you can find them inexpensively. What we used to do years ago, when we had time and a whole lot less money, we used to go to used clothing stores. And if you bought a jacket that probably came back in style 50 years later, it was all natural fiber at that point. Oh, they didn't have, the inside was silk, if anything.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to get into the dangerous future of clothing, but before that, I just wanted to make an interesting note. The DuPont's main chemist, Wallace Hume Carruthers, I think his name, who you guys credited as basically the father of synthetic fabrics, thought it was interesting because he had really bad depression and he killed himself in 1937, so maybe he was exposed to too many chemicals.
No question. I mean, if you saw the neuron disruption, and when you're thinking and listening to us and understanding what we're all saying, it's neurons in the brain that do that. But if you put this highly toxic, estrogen-rich or estrogen-mimicking deadly chemical into your brain from inhalation, that's going to throw off the neurons. And if you're a little bit on the edge, and geniuses quite often are a little bit on the edge, the cerebral group, as I call them, that's enough to throw you off the end so you could become suicidal. Just like psychiatric drugs do it, well, deadly chemicals on clothing also contribute.
Wow. Yeah, so you have Chapter 7, The Dangerous Future of Clothing, and you write about nanoparticles. Can you both talk about this?
Yeah, now, to explain nanoparticles to you, it's a little frightening. Many of the listeners don't know about them. This is really subatomic particles. So they're protons and neutrons, little tiny invisible forms of structure. And what they realized is that they could actually, for less money, put these little structures together to create fibers. So it's almost like the electronic age version of clothing, bad disaster chemical clothing at this point. And those little nanoparticles come off, are taken right up into the bloodstream, and can literally lodge in everything from the brain to the liver to the heart. And can you imagine the problems that that may cause? And of course, we're just beginning with these concepts. They're putting silver into the clothing. You know why? Because silver kills bacteria and microbes. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking when people have odor on their clothes because they've been perspiring on it in certain circumstances, by putting silver into that and then wearing it, you won't have the odor and you won't need to wash the garment as often. Now, can you imagine putting an incredibly high amount, more than you would take therapeutically from the health store, incredibly high amount subdermally into your body? We're working with a fellow right now that's one of the world's leading experts in subdermal uptake of particles. And he's doing a positive thing, talking about nutrition going right through the skin. But now when you start to put deadly chemicals and cancer-causing elements and heavy metals, that's what these particles are, this is going to destroy human health more rapidly than you can imagine. You would almost think this isn't about greed, which it is, it's about greed. You would almost think there was a master plan to wipe out humanity when you look at it.
Oh, yeah. I know. A death wish.
Yep.
I've also heard some conspiracy theories about nano being able to remotely, you know, track your moves or mind control you. So imagine if the government made some form of nano clothing mandatory at all times so they could always track you and control you.
Well, that's true. I mean, these nanoparticles, they are now able to be coated with electronics and frequencies, and they can actually move them. That was one of the first things they did, by the way. This is how they've tested nanotechnology at MIT and other you know, engineering and science universities globally.
Jeez. Yeah, I also know that there's a brand, it's called Tencel. I've been looking into it. It's a new fiber called Lyocell, and I keep seeing it marketed as eco-friendly and green, but they use some of this technology.
They use a lot of that technology, and it's wood. They actually take wood and make it into clothing. And it's a much, much, it's much more economic for them to do that because a tree has much more molecular density, and when they can eat it up, that fiber of the tree, the cellulose of the tree, and make it into strands, with trees naturally have that ability to begin with, it costs far less with that dense, large tree than it would to have a field. And somebody equated it to me one time. It may take for one large redwood tree 3 acres to replace what you could get out of clothing. Mm. And so this is why they like this, and if they're using deadly technology to get it to be fiber.
Well, and you know, we're living beings. We move, we sweat, we bring all this stuff into our body. It's really horrendous, you know?
Oh, yeah. I just think if this green movement goes far, because it is being hijacked, and if it goes to a point where the government says, according to Agenda 21, okay, we need to conserve all natural resources. So now, if you want to be green and save the planet, you only should wear synthetic fiber clothing.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's how they do. They manipulate. You know, over the years, they've been really good at that with different movements, and they hijack the movements.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you both so much. Is there anything else we missed that we should cover?
Well, I just hope that people listen closely to you and the astute interest you had in this and read Killer Clothes. You can get on the Hippocrates Institute website. We dedicated an entire one of our magazines, Heal Our World, that goes to 60 countries and 100,000 copies quarterly comes out. And so you may get on the Hippocrates website, HippocratesInstitute.org. It's HippocratesInstitute, HippocratesInstitute.org. And look at the magazine archives. You can read about that and many other subjects. You know, last year came out with a book, Killer Fish, to show you how deadly it is to consume aquatic life. And as Anna Marie and I joked, wasn't a joke, we've written a book, The 7 Ways to Lifelong Sexual Vitality. And we talk about gender bending in there, as you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. and how boys are no longer boys and girls are no longer girls.
Yep.
And how for the first time in history, because of clothing and bad food, et cetera, we have 2% more females being born than males. And we expect by 250, it'd be 5 to 7% different.
Wow.
And so a lot that you can read about and learn, and it was nice to be on with you, and we look forward to doing things in the future.
Well, thank you both so much. Thank you too, Anna. I really appreciate it.
That was wonderful. Thanks.
So there you have it. Read clothing labels. Avoid all clothing made of synthetic fabrics. Always choose natural fibers, organic when possible. And it's a good time to let you know that I've been working on a new clothing company of my own that will be available this winter called Lana's Llama, featuring non-toxic, natural fiber clothing for both men and women. And I don't mean just yoga pants. We'll have links on Red Ice once it's available. So remember, choose clothing made of natural fibers or wear nothing at all.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or umbrellas in their mitts. Putting on the Ritz. Have you seen the well-to-do up and down Park Avenue on that famous thoroughfare with their noses in the air? High hats and arrow collars, white spats and lots of dollars, spending every dime for a wonderful time. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz.
different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits, putting on the Ritz. Dress up like a $1 million trooper, trying hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or umbrellas in the midst, putting on the Ritz.
You and me says